To order today being Monday, May 11th, and with our legal statement, they'll get that out of the way quickly. The chair and general manager of Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our chief legal counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12. And that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. All right. Any changes to the agenda today?
Sure, Matt, and if I could ask the commissioners if they would prefer that I do screen share or if that's more of a hindrance to them than an asset. And last time they were on their own. Oh, there's Ross.
Commissioners, last time with the technical challenges, we kind of were reliant on our own to access the iPad information. Do you appreciate the screen share or do you prefer just to go that route?
I like the screen share.
Yeah, the screen share will be fine.
I'm okay. Using my iPad, so but it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. All right, I will share my screen and I'll move through the agenda as the commission moves forward on it. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Thank you, John. All right, any other changes to the agenda? If not, I would move into our consent agenda. We've got our minutes from the April 27th meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of $418,000, some odd change. Mr. Heron, can I have you run through the bill payments real briefly?
Thank you. Chair Mattern. We have a couple capital items on here. The first one is on page 7 that I have up here. Oh, no, that's not the first one. Let's see. Yes, it is the first one. That's not highlighted on your agenda. That was an oversight on our part, on my part. I missed it here when staff asked me what else. That's Schweitzer Engineering. That's an ongoing communication upgrade. That project is our old communication equipment is early 2000, so it's time we upgrade that. And, well, rolling through it too fast. I know we have another one. Well, I'm not sure what happened to it, but there we had another one highlighted, and it was part of our capital projects on there. Other than that, I have nothing additional to add to the agenda or to the bills.
John?
Yes.
I believe it was King's Electric for our LCMs for the load control project.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
All right. Thank you for that update. Commissioners, I'd be looking for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved, Zach.
Second, Ross.
We have a resolution and a second for the consent agenda. Any questions or discussion? If not, is Ms. Mathiason on? Can she take a roll?
Yes, I'm right here.
There we are.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner Mabou.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Lahmer.
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. All right. Item 3 on the agenda. We have approval for the April 30th Labor Committee meeting minutes. Vice Chair Commissioner Mabou, I'll turn this one over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Labor Committee has met on April 30th at 12:02 p.m. and the main topic discussion focused on attorney-client privilege and non-public personal issues. So that I'm looking for, actually the meeting was adjourned at one, after long discussion, adjourned at 1:17. PM. I'm looking at a motion to approve of this April 30th Willmar Municipal Utility Labor Committee. In conjunction that, John, should we add to the rest of it, or just it's too separate for the minutes and the additional information?
Yeah, Commissioner Mabu, yeah, we'll first ask for a motion to approve the minutes, and we'll come back and ask for a resolution to approve the agreement.
Okay, so this is a motion now.
Correct.
So I'm asking the motion to approve that labor committee meeting.
So move. Weber.
I will second that. So we have a motion and a second on the minutes. The minutes, as you note, are abbreviated. Hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to review their email for further information with the attorney-client privilege. There was a memorandum sent out this morning. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to take a look at that. So we do have a motion and a second on the minutes. Is there any discussion on that? If not, Ms. Mathiasen, could I have you take a roll on the minutes?
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Whoops. Aye.
Okay, Ed Mabu.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, in conjunction with that, as you also, you know, we are also looking for an approval and for, in conjunction to that information that has been provided regarding Dennis Ragu had submitted a separation and release agreement between herself and Wilmer Utility. So as you can see, you know, the mail that has just refreshed to our, with the agenda, just asking for resolution for that. I'm assuming that all of you read that.
So in conjunction with that, I guess we'd be looking for a resolution for acceptance of the separation and release agreement.
Yes. Yes.
Well, in that agreement, there were different choices to be considered, weren't there?
Commissioner Lahmer, to your question, the agreement itself did not have additional choices. The memorandum consisted of several choices, including the separation. And so it's the separation agreement itself towards the bottom of the memorandum that we'd be looking for a resolution for.
And what page would that be on?
On this morning's document that starts on page 8 of the PDF.
Well, I'll make the resolution myself. Is that possible? Is that okay if I make the resolution?
Certainly.
Yep.
I'll second. Erickson.
So I have a resolution and a second. I do want to give everybody an opportunity to briefly go through that if they have not had a chance. Commissioners, do you have any questions, or do you need a few more minutes to review the documentation?
Yeah,
I wonder if John could just kind of step through it a little bit.
Commissioner Mattern, I can give a high level overview of it if you wish for me to do that.
I know due to the attorney client privilege, we're very limited on what can be discussed or disclosed at this time, but General Manager Heron, I'll leave it to your discretion to offer what you're able at this moment.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Mattern. Commissioner DeBleek, what you have and what has been sent out has all been attorney-client privileged information.
I realize that, yeah.
The Labor Committee vetted out all the options, as Commissioner Lamar alluded to, that there's multiple options. Those options are not in the separation and release agreement. Separation and release agreement will remain confidential until after it is approved. When the Labor Committee vetted out the different options, I believe we had five of them that the Labor Committee vetted out. They directed staff to move forward with the separation and release agreement and offer that as a solution to move forward here. So the details are in that agreement, which I cannot share at this point in time. So, hopefully, as Chair Mattern alluded to, it started on page 8.
That I looked through the first one and I didn't go far enough down, I guess, that to get all of this. That's my fault. So I'm just reading through it now.
If that's okay, I'll allow another minute or two for review. Is there any questions in the meantime, additional questions?
All right,
perfect. This is Weber. I guess I have a statement. As chair of the Labor Committee, I was not able to attend this meeting that took place. And it seems like this decision is too far down the road. And I don't know what transpired in that meeting. I was not there. I will say at this point, I do not agree with it.
Thank you, Commissioner Weber. I know there's a lot of background information that goes into this particular decision, a lot of which not everyone has access to. And I know General Manager Heron had a lot of information that he was able to discuss with the attorneys that wasn't even able to be shared necessarily with the Labor Committee. But the information that was put forth in order to get to this point, I will say, has been well documented. We did ask about that. We had discussion with the attorney to see what information that they had in addition to what had been provided to us. And they did agree that this does seem to be the best route to go as well.
I'm this Ross. I'm also kind of struggling how we got to this point so quickly on this too. I don't know a lot of the details, but I'm struggling with the whole thing, how it got from where we are to where we are now, or where we were.
Well, as the board chair alluded to, that when we met, I was actually chairing that meeting, and this is the general manager's discretion in terms of decision-making, disciplinary actions. And it was just informing us as the Labor Committee that what has transpired and our limitation in terms of the attorney. What he gave us was multiple different choices that could be an exit for this issue. And we felt, that we give comfortably, the options that we have, the best one that we thought it would suit this matter. And we really vetted in this meeting in details. And we just saw what would be the best strategy for an exit. And this is actually came from the attorney himself, giving us this, options. Nevertheless, it rests on the general manager's hand, and it was just basically for us to just be aware of what's going on and what would be the best route for this. So, in short, I think we've been able to ask all the questions, and although we have a limited answers because of the a lot of information that wasn't shared with us because of the employee or
data privacy
privacy issues that we was not able to share with us. Based on that, there is a lot of information that we wouldn't be able to look at it. But as the chair alluded to, that you know, we have been given the assurance that everything was documented and everything was really transparent. So in that regards, so this decision was based on the options that have been provided to that employee, and finally the resolution has came to an acceptance. So I thought, we thought that this was a really kind of fair in that regards. I don't know, John, if you want to add anything to that, but.
Well, you summed it up well, Commissioner Mabu. Also for Commissioner Magnus and Commissioner Weber, if you, care to discuss some more of the details that we can't share publicly, I can share some of it, but I got to be careful what is shared with the commission as we, so that we don't cross over the data privacy line here. But I definitely can share more than what you have there.
I guess the last question I've got in regard to this, are we consistent with this separation agreement compared to prior separation agreements we've had?
That would be correct. As noted in the agreement, once you have a chance to read the full agreement, it's noted in that agreement that this is consistent with our other separation agreements, the power plants and other employees as well.
So this is Carol. So is there this agreement, is that like the severance packages that was given for the district heating people?
Exactly the same formula, correct.
Well, that's where I struggle with a little bit, is why are we setting a precedence going forward? If she gets a severance package, then anybody that would be potentially voluntary or involuntary terminated, they could get a severance package.
No, it's Commissioner Lemire, it's complicated. And there too, if you want to give me a call later, we can talk a little bit about why, you know, it was, why we were advised to offer a severance package.
Okay, this is Carol again. So that attorney would then be, of course, using up more hours, but that's a sidebar. Anyway, that it would not hold us to future claims of severance.
That would be correct. That's what we were informed by legal counsel.
Commissioner Lammer, that's a good question. We did have that discussion with the Labor Committee as well, because we had the same concern, and we were advised that this would not be necessarily setting a precedence.
Because that's what that was this agreement. But it's a voluntary resignation at this point. If I read this according to Article 1 right off the bat, it's a voluntary resignation.
Correct.
Or as they call them, voluntary termination, not an involuntary one. Okay.
And I agree with Carol on this. That's where I get caught up too. The situation seem a little bit different, and I'm being asked to vote on something that I can't ask questions about or get details until after the vote later on.
Very similarly, you know, I share that sentiment with you because of there is a lot of things that, you know, data privacy that we, you know, that we could not explore or been discussed with, so that there's a lot of limitation also as we met on that day for the Labor Committee. So it was basically listening the advice of the attorney and his suggestions, so that there was a lot of things that we asked, but you know, we couldn't go there.
For additional clarity, if I could have the commissioners perhaps take a look at page 2 of this morning's PDF from the attorney. There it outlines in section B the 5 considerations that we took in as a labor group. And numbers 4 and 5 were actually added at my request, that we have some discussion as those could be possibilities that we could have considered. And during the course of the discussion and the advice of the attorney and the amount of information that they had that they were not necessarily able to provide, they did agree that option number three did make the most sense. And so that's the decision or conclusion that we came to. I certainly empathize with the struggle to cast a vote without having as much information or being able to ask some of the questions that you would like to. If I could maybe invoke our attorney, Robert Scott, on this one, you know, are there any words of wisdom that you're able to provide just from an attorney perspective and the client privilege situation that, you know, how we're handling this to make sure that that we're handling it correctly and to maybe offer a little peace of mind?
Thank you, Chair Mattern. I have, just so the commission is aware, I've been listening to the discussion and have a little email discussion going with our labor attorney, Brandon Fitzsimmons, who provided the memo and prepared the agreement. And I've actually forwarded him the call-in information. He may be dialing in here to help answer any questions to the best he's able to in a public meeting. But in general, I think the and I understand the struggle the commission is having being requested to vote on an agreement that involves both privileged information and protected private personnel data on an employee. I think the rule of thumb is the commission should feel free to have the discussion it needs to have regarding the actual terms of separation as proposed in the agreement. However, any discussion of the underlying circumstances that led to this agreement being prepared would be private, you know, personnel data on the employee and should not be discussed in a public meeting. So with that, I'm not sure if Mr. Fitzsimmons will be dialing in here momentarily or if he may already have done so, but I certainly invited him to do that.
Mr. Sangren, have you seen an additional call come through? Mike, you were muted.
No, he has not tried to call in yet.
Commissioners, any additional questions specifically to the separation or the resolution at this time?
So this is Weber. We have a resolution and a second. What exactly are we voting on?
Resolution is for accepting the separation agreement as is presented in the document this morning.
Mr. Chair, I just received a message from Brandon, the attorney, and he will be joining us.
Thank you, Janelle. We'll offer a few moments for him to do so we can get some insight from him. In the meantime, any additional questions or discussion?
Well, I can just entertain saying it wasn't really easy. You know, data privacy is something really kind of challenging, as you all aware of. And, you know, it's just that, you know, as we met, I mean, you know, that, you know, the separation must happen. I mean, that's something that we all kind of agreed on. But the forms and ways that it will happen, it was just something that, you know, needs to be carefully weighted. And hopefully the attorney, Brandon, will give us more in details now as he comes in. But there is a lot of, you know, a lot of data privacy.
Commissioner Mabuse. That said, too, I am sure open to having discussion with any one of the commissioners on some more of the details. How we ended up where we are and why we elected the commission to direct staff forward the separation release agreement as it had been submitted to the commission. So, by all means, feel free to give me a call if you have more questions after Brandon answers your questions.
I do see
that. Attorney Fitzsimmons is on.
I do see that. Welcome, Attorney Fitzsimmons.
Good morning.
There you are. Welcome to the meeting. Just to catch you up real briefly, we've been having some discussion about the memorandum that was sent out this morning, as well as the separation agreement that was included with that. There's been a lot of discussion amongst commissioners, in part how we got here, and I know we have to be careful as to what is discussed and disclosed, and just was curious if there's any additional information that you're able to provide as far as the process and what the agreement consists of.
Yep. So issue number one, Mr. Chair, you know, I give deference to the memo, which I know, unfortunately, you just received this morning, but that's because, you know, I just received notification this morning that Ms. Runge did, in fact, sign the agreement, which we weren't sure if that would happen. So, Mr. Chair, you know, I'm going to have to give, especially in an open session, and there are no viable grounds to close it. You know, I'm going to, if you want, a nutshell the process, I still feel that's sufficient. So, Mr. Chair, I think it, you know, maybe to help me gather if anybody's even had time to read it, has there been any discussion whether or not folks have had a chance to absorb it or they haven't had time, because that may dictate, you know, how much information I'll go through with the commission.
Well, I think that's been a little bit of the challenge here. Some of them have been reviewing during the course of the last few minutes here. Commissioners, have you had an opportunity to fully read, or do you want a few more minutes to do so?
This is Ross. I did read it earlier when it came out.
I guess this is Bruce. I have read it, but I don't know if I've fully absorbed it yet. So,
okay.
I got through it as well now. That. So I did read it.
Yeah, Chair Mattern, if I may ask a question for the commissioners that might help Mr. Fitzsimmons address some of the concerns. Is the major question here why we are out of the five options, why we elected to go with this one? Is that the main question?
That is the sense that I'm getting. Commissioners, with the questions, do you want to elaborate any further?
That way it would help Mr. Fitzsimmons maybe address your concerns.
I'd say yes.
So for commission's sake, again, obviously, you know, I'm trying to be cognizant that we're in open session, so maybe I should ask more subparts to Mr. Heron's General Manager Heron's questions, which is, one, are you concerned with the underlying action that triggered how we got here, or are you concerned with the options, like Mr. General Manager Heron said, why of the five we chose this one? So is it going with how this really started with the underlying action, or is it more why of the five options we pursued this route?
I would say address both of those.
I guess, did Mrs. Runge select number one, or did we tell her that we were going to go with number three? Is that those five options?
Yeah. So to your specific point, this all started, obviously, you know, the agenda item and resolution are this related to approving a separation release agreement with Ms. Runge. Of the five options, maybe I'll take that specific question. We did go right to proposing the separation and release agreement. And part of the rationale, if you're looking at why, of the five options, you know, what are the pros and cons of doing those? You know, we tried to describe those in first page three of the memo, which lays out some of the substance. But, and also for those other four options at issue, if you look at page four of the memo, starting with item B, other actions if agreement's not approved, you know, that can lay out some of the issues that arise from taking one of those four other options. And with those four other options, which again are the options other than approving the separation and release agreement, with any of those, WMU could be exposed when there's not an agreement, such as included in this proposed separation lease agreement that Ms. Runge signed, where she promises not to pursue any legal claims against WMU to the extent the waiver is valid. With any of those four other options, WMU on its face could be exposed to potential challenges. Now, in this specific case, we did not opine it was threatened or imminent. Because you are generally exposed, that's one of the major impetuses why you pursue the separation and lease route and not one of those four other options.
So my question would be, was the employee offered these five choices?
No.
Or was she just presented the one that the labor committee came up with?
Yeah. So again, yeah, as I indicated before, of the five options, we had only proposed the separation release agreement. And, you know, part of the rationale was not only the specific circumstances you're looking at, but also feedback from the labor committee. But based on some experience, taking all those into account, sometimes it is your best position, as the separation release agreement says, if you think it's in the best interest that the individual is still no longer employed with the entity in exchange for certain things, sometimes it's most advantageous to go to the separation release agreement route right away instead of pursuing those other four options. And that bottom line is why we did not present those other four options to her. But I will, and I should be very technical on that. Of those four other options, if you look at number one, I should clarify, there was a letter that was distributed to her before the separation lease agreement was proposed at all, which indicated she could exercise option one. So again, we're back to, and, you know, let's fully vet here. If you're looking at option two, and specifically for those tracking, I'm going to page five of the memo. We did not expressly state that, but option two, we said in that initial letter to her going back to April that we submitted a memo to you on, there was indication that could be an option. So really, I want to come back full circle. One is we indicated, yeah, she could do that. Option two is we indicated, well, that could be a consequence. If you don't exercise option one, say that to her. But options three and four, three we did not specifically indicate. And option four is, it was buried really within our general proposition that if you don't resign, here are potentially, you know, we could take other action without specifying all those in number four. So I guess I want to be clear, generally we did go through options one, two, and a four, in effect, going back to our April letter. And I should clarify, that General Manager Heron submitted to her that we provided a memo to you on.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzsimmons. Commissioners, do you have additional questions at this point on the resolution?
Well, what would happen if the commission votes no to this resolution?
Yep. So if they vote no, we're back to page five of the memo. We're going to have to consider, and to clarify, if you vote no, really, if you're looking at what is the authority of the WMU Commission, you know, based on general manager job description and personnel policy and procedures, you know, in the end game, you have a right and are the only authority to approve agreements. So if you reject it, you could either give direction, if you wish, on potentially pursuing a modified agreement, or if it's one of the other four options on page four, item B, one through four, those are within the discretion under job description and personnel policies and procedural manual for General Manager Heron to pursue. So you would not be, generally you wouldn't be really providing feedback, except potentially the labor committee, nor clearly do you have authority in the end game under options one through the other actions one through four.
Can I offer, this is Commissioner Erickson. Just a little piece, you know, going back to page two of the five options that we were originally presented before we chose landed on number three, that four and five were, you know, things that were discussed in the committee, the labor committee meeting, and were moved on from based on information that wasn't given out prior to that meeting, that there was documentation and other things of that nature, that those were, those items were vetted and determined that, you know, they weren't taken lightly and that there was a reason that they were not chosen. I don't know if that provides any more clarification or if I'm getting my point across, but.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Commissioner Erickson, I'll just jump in just quickly on that. You know, the information was provided in more detail. If you look at page one of the memo at the bottom, there was an April 21st letter from General Manager Heron to Runge, in which the more specificity and the items that Commissioner Erickson is referencing were included in that letter of April 21 that went from Heron to Runge, which, you know, we summarized like this in a previous memo. And yes, as Commissioner Erickson pointed out, which were provided in some more detail at the Labor Committee meeting.
Commissioner Lahmer, were you about to ask a question a moment ago?
No, I'm in, I think we should go ahead and do this separation agreement. I'm in favor of signing it.
This is Commissioner Blake. I have one question, if I may.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I guess under a this voluntary resignation on a departed the employee, is that employee eligible for workers' compensation or any of that type of benefits?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I assume you want me to answer that question.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So one is there's no workers' comp issue at issue, but if you're looking at, you know, anytime an employee separates from employment in Minnesota, there's always an argument whether, you know, in a hypothetical general world, whether you were discharged or whether you resigned or whether you were laid off or whether you were furloughed, some employees do try to pursue unemployment insurance benefits. And if you're looking at more specificity on our opinion on that, you can go to page four of the memo, which lays out, and again, it's the third full paragraph under item B, page four of the memo, that describes in more detail where unemployment insurance benefits and how it may apply or may not apply in this situation. So what I can say is, to your specific point about voluntary resignations in general, generally that's what unemployment calls a quit. And then generally they cannot, again, I have to put the word generally on there, they generally would not get unemployment insurance benefits. But again, I've laid out some more details on page four of the memo on that issue.
Okay.
Hi, this is Commissioner Magnuson. I still struggle with the comment. I agree with the comment that Carol made earlier about what this could mean for future employees that want the same type of package, and whether or not we're consistent in this with how we're calculating this to the power plant employees.
Attorney Fitzsimmons, that's a question that had come up during the Labor Committee meeting, and in terms of the precedents that could be setting, that this agreement could be setting. Could you address that as well?
Yeah, so legally, this isn't binding nor set any precedent for future employees. So at least the legal part's cleared off. Practically, now to address your concerns, well, in effect, the usual question is, well, will others seek this and expect the same package? Again, if we look at the plant employees at issue, that was a specific package that employees would receive the economics as certain circumstances occur. So though principally we reviewed that document before we came up with a separation release agreement, you know, that is not expressly included in this agreement. And then secondly, and more specifically in the practical part, is we always look at, you know, what type of good policy argument or administrative argument could a future employee make that they should get a similar package? Is that with, in this specific circumstance, there is a full-fledged few-page separation and release agreement, and that's the only, you know, it's going to be tough for RUs with others for to RU without this type of total package that they could claim some type of entitlement or expectation they should get it. So bottom line, based on the total package, it's going to be tough for anybody else to claim that they were under similar circumstances with a similar agreement, therefore they should get it. So practically, we think based on that, the impact of doing that is mitigated. But legally, again, bottom line, it'll mean nothing to future employees. We're not bound to do it.
Thank you. Definitely a good question and appreciate the additional insight on that. Commissioners, additional questions on the resolution? All right.
I guess question of the Labor Committee or that item 5, was that item reviewed or at all? Or what was your rationale for not pursuing item 5?
Commissioner Maboub, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, item 5 was to not waiving her right. I mean, when we looked at all different, you know, the 5 options and how we come up, you know, the conclusion is just that we thought, you know, number 5, that provision wasn't something that, you know, that would be best interest of us. But John, can you a little bit highlight on that, item number 5, when you were explaining to us the 4-5 different options?
Sure, I can. I'm a little bit out of disadvantage because my screens are all tied up on this conference call, yeah, so I'm not able to open a document up here because of on the screen.
I can see that too, so, okay.
Yeah, but number 5, I believe it had to do with reprimand and discipline. Is that number 5?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that at length, and Mr. Fitzsimmons, if I'm crossing over into data privacy, just feel free to cut me off. But the Labor Committee, we got that one out as well. And that position, or a potential position that could open up here, you know, would maybe be suitable for, you know, Rungi to fit into. However, in the office here, everyone has to work together. It's a team. And she would still be part of that and be part of the team. And, you know, I can't share all the details of the investigation and the findings of the investigation, but in conclusion, the investigation identified Rungi as not a good fit within the office here.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess. Mr. Matter, make a statement on that or follow up? I guess I think we need to defer to General Manager Haran on this. She needs to manage the utilities' best interest. And it sounds like this may be the best interest to accept this separation agreement.
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek.
At this point in time.
Yeah, I assure you that the course of the discussions that we've had on this have not been easy. We have talked about a lot of different things, a lot of options, and considered as much information as we've been able to be provided. Obviously, not having all the information that one would like makes the decision all the more difficult. However, I believe that with the information that we have been provided, that we have offered the best guidance that we've been able to at this point, all things being considered. The fact that we've had outside counsel involved, the fact that we've had administration involved, you know, a number of different parties, I think helps to make sure that we're looking at things from as many angles as possible and that we're covering things as sufficiently as we possibly can, considering the circumstances. So that being said, Mr. Fitzsimmons, I'm not sure if you have any final thoughts or anything additional to add that you think perhaps is helpful or that has been missing from this conversation that would be useful.
Yeah, maybe just two things again to distill the agreement, you know, back to the question of why five wasn't pursued, for example. Again, I think the whereas clause summarizes it best. Both Denise Runge and WMU feel it's quote unquote in the best interest that she separate. So the other options would include if there weren't a separation employment, but because we think separation is the way to go, that's why five wasn't pursued. And then secondly, from Team Legal's perspective, though we don't set a precedence or always find them advantageous, and it's got to be based on specific circumstances, we think there is a lot of value that, you know, WMU just isn't exposed to any legal claims. And this, an individual consistent with the agreement won't pursue reinstatement or reapply with the city. So, it's a complete separation that allows WMU to more easily move on.
Hi, this is Carol, and just my final comment on it. Again, we had the labor committee and they did get more detail and that type of thing. And then we as commissioners now have asked several questions. And again, going with the process that we've used, that the labor committee did get the more detail and came out with the recommendation that they did, that we don't, I don't want to, second guess their decision. And so again, I would vote for in favor of the separation agreement.
Thank you, Carol. I think, three of us, although we have, as we indicated, we have a really, restrictions in terms of data privacy. A lot of doors was closed that we could not, able to address, but or even to have a knowledge. But nevertheless, we have general manager who has a really good record in the terms and the employees, basically work performance. And we also have the attorney who was really kind of guiding us, what kind of questions that we can ask, where we can go. So I think this will be the best option for the utility, looking in terms of, what we looked at all the different options. I think this separation, this is the guidance that we have provided to our general manager, and I believe this will be the best route for us at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Maboub. I do want to move us along. I've wanted to provide as much opportunity to vet this as possible. I know because of the lack of previous information and the circumstances, I did want to provide an opportunity for everybody to get their questions out. Unless there's any other major questions at this point, I think we'll proceed. Commissioners, any final things or questions that you have that you want to bring out at this time? If not, we do have a resolution and a second to accept the separation agreement as outlined in the documentation. And Ms. Mathiasen, if I could have you take roll on the resolution, please.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Nay.
Erickson.
Aye.
Well, excuse me, can you repeat that, Commissioner
Aye.
Erickson? Aye, thank you.
Yep.
Mattern.
Aye.
Palmer.
Aye.
Maboub.
Aye.
Weber.
Nay.
Thank you.
All right, that resolution does carry. Thank you, everyone, for your input on that. Thank you for Attorney Fitzsimmons for stepping in here and providing some additional information. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Next on our agenda, we are looking for a wind turbine report update from Mr. Marty.
Thank you. President Mattern. As you see, April 2020 wind turbine report, both turbines had what we feel is good availability. Total output, 611,169 kilowatt hours for the month. And flipping up to the next page, we can see how that compares with the last few years. It's not the best, it's not the worst. The turbines did good. We just were a little shy on wind last month. So I'd entertain any questions you had. Otherwise, on a side note, we talked about last month, we are awaiting the wind turbine contractor to come in and re-quote the wind turbine blade repairs on the north turbine. We're expecting them any day.
Thank you, Kevin. It's kind of always a bittersweet report. We like the wind for the sake of the turbines, but I don't necessarily yes. care for it personally, right?
I agree.
All right. Commissioners, any additional questions on that report?
Nope.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Item number 5 on the agenda. We have an update from Ms. Morotsky, scholarship award winners.
Thank you, Chairman Mattern. For those who are maybe new to the commission or have not had this information in the past, each year Willmar Municipal Utilities sets aside $1,000 to be awarded to 2 local high school seniors. And this actually comes down through MMUA. Tom Bovitz was a general manager of Hibbing Public Utilities, and he was a firm believer in education. So it comes through when it's named Tom Bovitz, that is the gentleman that got this going. And basically, the applicants have to complete an application and an essay, and they have to be, or their parents, they or their parents have to be a member of WMU. And we had 3 applicants this year. The first place award was $750, and that was Jacob Meyer. He's a senior at Willmar Public High School. And second place of $250 went to Regan O'Toole, a senior at Community Christian High School. So knowing all of the challenges that these seniors have had this year and all of the things that they aren't going to get that all of us probably did get at our senior graduation, we hope this can help them in furthering their future educations. And we did send it off. Jacob's was sent off to MMUA for further consideration. Unfortunately, his was not chosen as one of the top 4. So.
Exciting news nonetheless. Certainly that's great. We offer our well wishes to Jacob and Reagan as they continue on. That's a congratulations to both of them. So it's great.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. All right, moving along, we have our silent impact update. Ms. Johnson.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, afternoon.
As a follow-up to our silent impact series that we have been working with and through Joe Schmidt, Joe has sent us our May edition of his silent impact video. He is continuing with what he calls his pandemic edition. And in this segment, it is on loss and gain. Joe's showing us the positive side of the pandemic, if there is one, the gift of time and the tools we can use in this time of change. So John, do you wanna pull that up on the and share your screen?
Okay.
Joe Schmidt here with your impact list.
Is it coming through?
Yes.
Okay.
Solution for the month of May, and we're going to do another pandemic edition of the impact resolution, because this month we're going to talk about loss and gain. Everybody has lost something because of the pandemic, some more than others. People have lost their job, money, freedoms, things that you want to do, weddings, funerals, proms. Everybody has lost something. But what have you gained during this time? Remember when I spoke, we talked about athletes who had an off season. And what they do in that off season is they work on themselves. But we have all been given the gift of time during this pandemic. And it's time for you to turn it around and figure out what you have gained and what else you can gain. I know one thing we've gained, we all realize how important relationships are. We also realize how important it is to reach out to people in need. There are always things that we can gain during a time of loss. It's all about evolving. How are you going to evolve during this time? The other thing that we've gained during this time is we've gained tools, tools that we can use during a time of change. Change is a constant. Change is always going to happen. Use these tools we've learned of persistence and perseverance and patience and courage and toughness during this time of the pandemic. Use those the next time we're hit by a curveball in life. You know, Viktor Frankl wrote this wonderful book, Man's Search for Meaning. Now, if you haven't read this book yet, it should be must reading for everybody. He was in a concentration camp during the Holocaust, and Viktor Frankl is a genius. And he wrote a couple of things that I wanted to share with you today as we're talking about gaining. He said, everything can be taken from man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances and to choose one's way. He was telling us that change is constant, and how you evolve and handle that change makes a difference on what you gain out of the situation. Frankl went on to say, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. So during a time of loss, figure out ways that you can evolve and change for the better. So this month, our impact resolution is going to be think about things we gained and think about things that you can still gain during this time. Also, I want you to read more. I want you to think about reaching out to somebody every day, somebody maybe that isn't expecting it. And last but not least, I want you to think about evolving during this time of loss, because when you do, ultimately it becomes a gain. That is our impact resolution. Make an impact every single day. And remember, we make our biggest impressions when we're not trying to be impressive.
Thank you for that update, Janelle. Joe does a good job of getting us to kind of step back and kind of reconsider things and center our thoughts a little bit. So that's very helpful. All right. Moving on, we are now to the general manager's report, Mr. Heron.
All right. Thank you, Chair Matter. I don't have anything to add to the general manager's report. I just encourage everybody to look at what we have coming up. We did hear from Corolla this past week, so we're getting very close to having a planning committee meeting. And other than that, everything else is listed there unless there's questions from the commission regarding what we have noted. Thank you.
Thank you, John. John, just one final thing that I wanted to add, if you could offer our encouragement and thanks to the office staff up front. I know with all the challenging times we've got going on with the pandemic and with office changes and personnel and so forth, they've been dealing with a lot up there. So we just want to give our appreciation and thanks to them for the hard work that they're continuing on behalf of the utilities as well. So,
thank you, Commissioner Mattern. I shall do that. They'll appreciate hearing that.
All right. Anybody else have anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move. Zach.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks. Have a good day.